Amen. And the church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We want to give our guest preacher as much time as possible. He has been here now at least for the last 6 or 7 years of my pastor. And I'm grateful for his friendship and for his leadership, not only in his native country of Liberia, but particularly even in here in the United States of America. He is the former co-pastor of a wonderful church, Madison Square Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where after obtaining his master's degree in divinity from Princeton Seminary and his doctorate of ministry degree from Princeton Seminary, the Lord took him and set him as a co-pastor of a multi-ethnic, multicultural church in Grand Rapids. And he spent several years there before the Lord then called him back to his native country of Liberia, where he answered the call, went 8 years ago, and the Lord has used him mightily to help his country, which was at that time coming out of a post-Civil War experience. The Lord took him back there to help not only rebuild and strengthen his home church, the Providence Baptist Church, which celebrated 193 years this past year, and we'll be looking forward, the Lord said the same, to 194th on next year. We're excited about the ministry that God has, the relationship that God has created between us, not only as brothers in Christ, but between the two churches we pastor, the Shiloh Church here in Trenton, the Providence Baptist Church there in Monrovia. And again, there have been a host of our members who have traveled to Liberia. I had Dr. and Dr. Brown, Stan, but again, many others like Sister Mitzi Hightower-Teal. Why don't you stand? Sister Mitzi ministered in dance over in Africa. Sister Deborah Kennedy now, Deborah Thomas formerly, Deborah Kennedy now. Is Deborah in the choir back here?
No.
She was here last week. She has traveled over, Deacon and Deaconess Napoleon Smith, Brother John Weaver, Deacon Jerry Harris, would you stand? Minister Lorene Williams, and I thought I saw Reverend Holloway come on in. Do you stand? These are just a few of the folk who traveled over to Liberia and spent some time on the quote-unquote mission field, and we're grateful. Let's give God a praise offering for their leadership. They have done a great job, and we're grateful to the Lord for all that they have done. So Reverend Reeves is not only a national leader in his native country, but he is a world leader in our Baptist denomination as well as in Africa. He has served in several leadership positions in the Liberian Baptist Convention as well as the All Africa Baptist Convention. Has been involved with several of our conventions here in the United States of America, and indeed a world leader, a world figure. But the thing I love most about him is that he loves God. He loves his family. He is married, and they are the proud parents of a wonderful son who is getting his education here in the States, and they are the proud leaders of a great church in Liberia. I'm going to invite Pastor Reeves to come, give us a brief update on what's happening in Liberia, and then as the Lord so leads him, to bless us with the sermon that God has given him today. So won't you extend your right hand towards the pulpit and say, Lord,
bless me.
Bless my family.
Bless my church.
Through this your servant, Reverend Dr. Reeves. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering as my brother in Christ, our dear friend, comes to bless us, Reverend Dr. Samuel Broomfield Reeves, Sr.
Amen.
God is good.
And all the time.
God is good.
It's good to be back home, away from home. Amen. I've been here so many times now, I feel at home. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. It's good to be here again and bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Liberia. I brought a little DVD, but I didn't get here on time, and we might see it at the second service. But the Lord continue to bless the work and continue to expand His kingdom and continue to use us as a tool to get His work done. Amen?
Amen.
It's not about us. It's about God, who's doing great things if we let Him use us. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes we think we're big and bad, but God is bigger and badder.
Yes, He is.
Amen. So we just let Him use us. We will be all right for it. Amen. Thank you. God bless. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on this thy people pour all thy power. Lord, grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Lord, may I yield this sermon to your utterance, my faith, your sight, my reconstructed imagination, to your divine inspiration. Speak for us. Speak to us. Help us to hear from heaven today. Let the words of my mouth and the collective meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Quickly, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And will you stand with me in honor of the word of God? The text is chapter 4, the first 31 verses. But we're not going to read all of that. We'll just read a few verses in the beginning, and the rest of it we will follow in the sermon. Acts chapter 4. If you're there already, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute, preacher. I'll wait a few seconds. Acts chapter 4, the first 31 verses, but we will read all of that. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and because it was evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the ruler, elders, and teachers of the Lord met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power and what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and I ask how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucify, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Turn to the person sitting next to you. I don't know if you know them or not, but just turn to that person and ask them, "What's your name?" If you have a name, answer the question. If you have a name, answer the question. Amen. 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 Because you see, church, once upon a time, names stood for greatness. Amen? Once upon a time, I'm told that a certain name could get you certain places with certain privileges. A name is a means of recognition and distinction and identification. Amen. Once upon a time, all you had to do is go to a certain place and call a certain name, and you could get certain things that you couldn't get if you had a certain kind of name. Amen. Listen, church, this morning we're told that in the early church, a person's name was more than a means of their identification. A person's name represented their integrity and their honor, and it stood for who that person really was. I haven't lived long enough, but I'm told that long ago, businessmen would meet and shake hands, and that settled a deal because they knew each other. your word and your name will mean something that a whole lot doesn't mean today. Are you with me this morning? And so you know the question. Every now and then, if the Spirit moves, just borrow me a few amens. Amen? Now listen, because if I have to preach the sermon all by myself, we will be done when I'm finished. But if you help me out with a few amens, we might be out of here early. Amen? Amen. And so every now and then you hear me say, are you with me? And if you're not sleeping, just borrow me a few amens. Amen. Amen. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Listen, the early church had none, we're told, of none of the advantages and that some of our churches boast of and depend on today. We're told that they did not have big budgets provided by wealthy donors. Listen, their pastors, according to our standard, may have a lot of credentials from the renowned and Ivy League schools of our days. They did not even have the endorsements of influential political leaders of that day. But most pastors and ministers in the early church, unlike most of us, I think unlike Pastor Armstrong and I, most of these guys, these ministers had jail records. And they've been to prison and they've been to jail. Are you with me, church? They had records probably as long as a rap sheet for doing something that the Lord had called them to do. What is the secret of their commitment and their success? Oh, I'm glad you asked, deacons. Listen, it is our prayer that today's message will provide for us some answers. Listen, church, today we were caught up in the world of name brands, fashion, and glamour. There's some folk who just wouldn't wear any kind of stuff. There's some folk, in order for them to be dressed, must have a certain kind of name brand on their backs. Are you with me? Listen, we believe that in order for us to be properly attired, we must be clothed in a certain name brand. There are Brooks Brothers and there are Dillers and there are all kinds of stuff out there. Some folk got caught up with Calvin Klein and Levi and Gucci and other kind of Giorgio Armani, Ralph Lauren and Nike. We caught up in the name brand of our time. But this morning, I just stopped by Shiloh this morning for a few minutes, not to bore you with the names of great designers, nor to tell you of men and women of great historic name. No, I stopped by Shiloh this morning to share with you a name that is greater than every other name, a name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, not Giorgio Armani, but Jesus Christ. I stop by to tell you that there is a name I love to hear. I love to tell the story of that great name. You see, life has taught me most, if not all of the time, that what really matters in this life is not what we have or what I have, but what I do with what I have. You see, sometimes we complain how much we have or don't have. My grandmother used to say, thanks God to her sainted memory, she used to say, boy, it's not what you got, but how you take care of what you have, young man. And so today I just stopped by here on my way to glory to speak to you from the theme, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Listen, the first days of the early church were exciting and thrilling. Listen, we're told that thousands of people believe in Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders were performed. Everything was going well for the church in the first three chapters of the book of Acts. But come chapter 4, something dramatically changed in chapter 4. All the good things seem to come to an end. And there in chapter 4, the church begins to experience some persecution. Listen. We may not know much about persecution in this country, yet sometimes we do experience resistance from our families and our co-workers. Today's text, church, examines three groups of people and what they did with the name of Jesus. First, come, go with me. First, let's look at the apostles and how they defended the name of Jesus. Listen, the Bible tells us that the healing of the blind man had taken place within the part of the temple area which was always filled with people. Are you with me this morning? Listen, the spotlight of publicity was inevitably focused on the incident. Folk always like to see what's happening. You know, you drive in your car, there's a little fender bender. You don't go on mind your own business and keep on. You slow down and see what's happening on the highway. Listen, there's something happening in this place and folks stop and begin to wonder. Now listen, on the other side of the temple was Solomon's porch, where a great crowd of people had come to worship and to sightsee. Now everybody who comes to church comes to worship. Some folk just come to sightsee. Listen, church, around the corner was the court of the women. Across from it was the court of the Gentiles, the largest and the busiest of the temple's court. Listen, come, go with me. Out from the crowd came the priest and the superintendent of the temple and the Sadducees. The Bible tells us that these officials of the temple, these highly religious people, these folk with a holier than thou attitude, were not happy about what was going on. Listen, in fact, they were annoyed because the disciples had preached in the name of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. Listen, the religious elites were annoyed because more than 5,000 persons had heard the good news preacher about Jesus in that day. Are you with me, church? Listen. They were also annoyed that the lame man who'd been laying there all his life had been healed by the disciples. My God. They should have been happy and celebrating praises to God with the disciples, but instead they were mad. Why? I'm glad you asked, deaconesses. Listen. Why? Because they, as religious leaders who should have healed the lame man, could not. So they were mad that the disciples had healed him. You know, there are folk in the church who can't do you any good, but get mad when somebody help you out with some good in the name of Jesus. Like the religious leaders of Shiloh in the temple today, there are people out there who cannot do any good thing to help improve your condition, your church, your business, your home, and your family, or your country. But they get mad and protest and campaign against others who try to improve your situation. Listen, church. There are folk out there, even in the church, who will complain about and disagree with everything and all the good things that you try to do because the things were not done their way. Go to a meeting and make a suggestion, and they didn't take that suggestion, they throw in the towel. They didn't take what they said, they get mad. Things don't go their way, they join another church. Are you with me, Shiloh? Listen, the Bible tells us that they arrested the disciples to protest their vested interests. So the story goes on that the next day, the disciples faced the Sanhedrin council. This was the same board a few months earlier that had condemned Jesus to die. Listen, officially, this group was charged with the responsibility of protecting the old tradition and propagating the Jewish faith. They had the so-called rights to investigate what the church was doing. Listen, they asked the disciples, these men, Muslim, they were all men. They didn't have any women those days. I see why they had some problems. They couldn't think right. When we got some women, it helps to balance all of what's going on. Listen, church. Listen to the question that they asked the disciples. Where did come men like you get the power and authority to do the things that you do? My. Where? Someone said they had a mitigating call to ask the question. Listen, what the board, this group of religious and self-centered men really meant in their question was, in whose name did you do what you did? Oh, you didn't get that. Come on, let me give it to you one more time for free. What they really meant by asking, where did you get the power? They were really saying, there's a lot of names going on around this place. We heard of some. We tried to seize one of them. So the question this morning is, in whose name have you done what you've done? Listen, Peter, the legal spokesman. Peter, the persecuting Antony. Peter, the solicitor general. Peter, the barrister, the head of the defense team for the disciples. The Bible says, filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up in the courtroom of public opinion and made his opening statement as found in verses 8 to 14. Listen, in this argument, in these verses, Peter eloquently and extemporaneously made the case for presenting and the proof as to how the miracle occurred. Listen, they were still not satisfied. Why, Pastor Sam, I'm glad you asked, Brother Chester. Listen, because members of the prestigious council have seen and passed by the lame man many times. Listen, they may have even given this man a little piece of bread every now and then. But they couldn't heal. They couldn't heal this man. But guess what? Listen, they shouldn't give him what he needed. That's why they were saying to the disciples, we can't give it, so you shouldn't give this man what he's in need of. They couldn't provide him the necessity of his life and the necessary healing that he needed. Listen, even though they couldn't heal the man, like many folk around us, members of the council in the cross-examination were more annoyed with how the man, the lean man, got his healing than who were actually involved in his healing. They were not concerned that the man got healed. No. They were not concerned that the man's condition had changed. No. They were not concerned that a man who had occupied some space, that space where nothing good came out, had now risen up and was about to renew and change his life. No. All they were concerned about is whose, in whose name. Listen, in a counter cross examination, the chief lawyer stood up and asked, do you want to know how and by whom? Listen. Then Peter said, oh my goodness, I think Peter had a pulpit then. Then Peter got up and Peter said, listen, he said, all you taught it was in my name. No, Peter said, in the name, by the name, with the power of the name and the authority of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this man was here. Yeah. Listen, this was not good news for the council.
It should have been good news for the council. But if this kind of good news had already gotten to the council, it would have messed the council up. Because they would have become redeemed, regenerated men of God. But no, they were just gatekeepers of the tradition. Why? Because they thought that they had killed and gotten rid of the prophet from Nazareth. Because a few weeks earlier, they got rid of this man. They thought they destroyed this man. Listen, they thought they killed the man. That's why they were mad about what was happening. But to their surprise, his followers were still talking, telling people, still healing and forgiving in the name of Jesus. Listen. They're told that they killed the dreamer and the dream had gone. You can kill the dreamer, but you can't take away the dream. More than 50 years ago, a man stood on the Washington Memorial and he said, I have a dream that one day my three little kids would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And 50 years later, there's a black man in the White House. You can kill the dream, the dreamer, but you can't take away the dream. Woo! Listen. What really bothered the council was not the fact. Can I take my time? Listen, what really bothered these guys was not the fact that the lame man was healed, but that someone else had healed the man. Can you imagine? Put on your imagination cap for me this morning. Can you imagine if a member of that council, the board, had healed the lame man? Listen, it would have made the front page headlines in every major paper in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem Times would have carried the headline, Sanhedrin Council, what miracle? The lame man healed. But no, they did not. Therefore, according to them, it was wrong for these unimportant and untrained disciples to heal the man. Are you with me? Listen. There are many Sanhedrins in our society, in our organization, in our families, and in our churches today. They can't help your condition, but they growl and holler and moan and complain and fuss and whine when somebody does some good in the name of Jesus. Listen, there are some folk who are doing their best to help us find solutions to our problem, but there are Sanhedrin who are looking around for problems out of your solutions. Despite their criticism and their condemnation, in spite of the gossip and the small talk all around, and small talks of discouragement, and regardless of their lies and cheap politics spread all around the community, listen, like Peter and the apostle, we must defend the name of Jesus. Remember, there is power in no other name. Power not in Barack's name or in Ellen Johnson's name. Power not in Dara's name or in Sam's name. Power not in the deacons or the deaconesses. Power in the name of Jesus. Because there is salvation in no other name. And there is no other name under heaven given whereby men and women must be saved. Secondly, listen, the council opposed the name of Jesus. So the council was caught up in a moral dilemma. They couldn't deny the lame man's miracle, The man was standing right before their very eyes. They couldn't explain how, according to them, uneducated and untrained disciples could perform such mighty deeds. But he was standing there. Using my spiritually reconstructed imagination. Listen, church, I hear them ask the disciples, what school did you attend? Where did you serve on your missionary journey? From which seminary did you receive your masters of divinity? But I hear Peter in his closing arguments declare, we receive our degrees from the Lord and our master himself. Listen, we didn't go to any established seminary, but we went to JTS, Jesus Theological Seminary. We sat at the feet of Jesus. We heard the good news of the salvation of humanity. We heard that in the name of Jesus, the dead can be raised, the blind can see. We hung out with the King of the universe, the healer of the broken hearts, the great physician, the miracle working God, the Rose of Sharon, the bridge over troubled waters. There is power in the name of Jesus, wonder working power. Now listen, the council opposed the name of Jesus in their deliberation. They did not seek for the truth. They sought for ways to avoid the truth. They allowed their pride to take them for a ride, and their hardness of hearts to stand in the way of the truth of Jesus Christ. Listen, like the council, sometimes we know the truth but fail to confess it and to accept it because of our pride. Don't you know who I am? Who are you? A sinner saved by grace. Don't you know how long I've been in the church? How long you've been in the church? But Jesus Christ died for the church. Don't you know what my name brand is? That name can't do you any good but the name of Jesus. Who are you? Sometimes we get so big and bad that big and bad get afraid of us. In the concluding argument, seems as though we've been in a court today. In their concluding argument, listen, the council declared, let the thing, in fact, they didn't even sound that loud. Gentlemen, let the thing die a natural death. Please, don't talk too much. Be quiet. Don't say too much about that knee. Listen, they threatened the disciples and told them not to preach in the name of Jesus. They were afraid that the preaching of the gospel would expose them for who they are. They were afraid that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ would change their hearts and expand the kingdom of God and increase the population and the power of the church to change the world. Because they were aware that between Acts 1 and now Acts 4, the church had grown from 120 praying men and women to now more than 5,000. So they knew there was power in the name of Jesus. Please, don't say too much about that name. Don't talk a lot about that name, because somewhere in their faculty, they knew there was power. So in the midst of the stiff opposition from the council, the disciples faced their enemies with three questions. Is it popular? Is it safe? Or is it right? Those are the questions we face all the time when we encounter the name of Jesus. Is it popular? Because sometimes it's not the popular thing to do where you are to talk about the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's not safe. Sometimes it looks as though it is not right. Listen, it was unpopular for the disciples to spread the gospel according to the council. They were branded troublemakers. It was unsafe and life-threatening for the disciples to speak the truth. Their lives were in danger. It was wrong. It seemed for the disciples to go against the council's tradition and customs. But in spite of the council's opposition, the disciples knew that it was right to preach Christ and heal in the name of Jesus. They knew that obedience was better than sacrifice. They risked their popularity and their safety and their rights to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Oh, let me tell you, we've become so sanitized in our faith that we don't want to get dirty. We don't want to risk our popularity. We don't want to risk our rights. So when it comes to that, between my right and sharing Jesus, I want to look good. But we come to church on Sunday morning and nobody sees us during the course of the week. So it's easy to stand up here and say, the Lord is the head of my life and all that good stuff. But when we get in the trenches where the rubber meets the road and folks look at us and say, between your popularity and your personality of Jesus Christ, who are you going to choose? The apostles defended the name of Jesus and the council opposed the name of Jesus. What are you doing with the name of Jesus? So lastly, as we come home, lastly, the church called on the name of Jesus. Ooh, my. The church, thirdly, the church called on the name of Jesus. Listen, so after the trial of the disciples in the court of the Sanhedrin, they were told to leave town and never speak of that name again. You leave Trenton. Don't let folks see you in Trenton anymore. Listen, following the trials, a guilty verdict, the church held a prayer meeting. Oh my goodness. I can see my grandmama and your grand auntie. I can see my granddaddy all in white, caught up in the church, praying in the name of Jesus. Listen, the church didn't put his hand on their head and cried. The church didn't run to the state house and wonder what was going on. When things got tough, the church came to the church and the church called on the name of Jesus. Listen, when the church faced problems and difficulties and division, when the church comes to the crossroads of going backwards or going forward, the best place to be, the best thing to do is for the church to call on the name of Jesus. Ooh. Amen. Listen. If the church must hold together, if the church must be powerful numerically, socially, spiritually, the church must spend time in prayer. That's why someone said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. When the early church faced stiff opposition from the political and religious leaders, it realized that there was power in no other name under heaven, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Listen, like the early church, we must not pray to have our circumstances change or our enemies destroyed. Like the early church, we must ask God to give us strength and power to endure our circumstances and the grace to love and transform our enemies into friends. The church prayed for divine strength, not for an escape route. The church prayed for courage, not for thou shalt taste. Listen, the church prayed for boldness, not for a battle. The church prayed for the salvation of her enemy, not for her own safety. Like the early church, we should not ask for protection, but for power. Like the early church, we should not ask for popularity, but for boldness to speak the truth, transform the past, and engage the future. Listen, child, like the early church, we should not ask for fire from heaven to destroy, but for faith from within to heal the sick, shatter the homeless, feed the hungry in the name of Jesus. What are you doing with the name of Jesus? Listen, demons recognize and tremble at the name of Jesus. Listen, the grave obey the name of Jesus. Listen, the dead are raised up in the name of Jesus. Angels sing about the name of Jesus. Wise men journeying a long way in the name of Jesus. The heaven coronates the name of Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his words. Oh, it sounds like music in my ear. The greatest, sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. I got a few degrees, but I can't tell you I love those degrees like I love my Jesus. I've been a few places around the world. I can't tell you I love those places like I love my Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Come on, choir, help me out. Oh, how I love Jesus. I've had some candy and it's sweet, but not as sweet as the name of Jesus. Come on, stand to your feet. 'Cause he first loved me. There is a name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Sing it, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus, because that name is calling you for salvation. Come on. It tells of one whose loving heart can change my deepest woe. Oh, and in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because, let's do the chorus again. Oh, how I love. How many of you love him?
Oh, how I love him.
I mean, really, really love him.
Oh,
allow the Lord to be Lord over your life. Oh, how I love. Let's do it one more time. Cry a little quieter. Just stay right there. Oh, how I love him. There's someone here today who needed to be reminded of the power of the name of Jesus. Whether there are circumstances on your job, circumstances in your family, maybe even circumstances within your own body, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to heal, power to cast out, power to overcome. But we need to decide on whose name we're going to stand. And so the usher, the deacons and the deaconess and the clergy are extended into the congregation today as an invitation, as an extension of the arms of Jesus. They say no matter who you are and where you are and where you've come from, that God wants you to have power to overcome your circumstances. And so if you don't know who he is, then you can't appropriate his power. And so in order to call on the name and believe in the power of Jesus, you've got to come and submit to that name. And so if you want to know more about the name of Jesus, I want to invite you to come. That's why these men and women are in the pews extending an invitation for you to come. And if you're here today and you want to come to know more about him, or if you want to join this church, maybe you already know who Jesus is and you just don't have a church home. We want you to become even more powerful by being a part of a body of believers. If you want special prayer, you can just step out into the pews, and one of these men or women will grab you by the hand and pray with you, whatever your situation is. But right now, we're going to sing this one more time. And as we do, these two invitations are extended. Lift up your voice if you know him. If you love him, lift up your voice. If he's done anything for you, lift up your voice and tell him how much you love him. If he's made a way for you out of no way, built bridges over troubled waters, threw mountains out of your way, open doors that no man can shut. Oh, how I love him. How many lovers of Jesus do I have today? Do you really love him? Oh, how I love him. One more time, choir, one more time. Oh, how I love. If you're here, won't you step out of your pew, out of your seat?